Ancient Faith Radio now presents Approaching the Wardrobe with Jeff Wisniewski. Here, Orthodox Christians will come to better understand and relate to the not-yet-Orthodox. And the not-yet-Orthodox will find comfort and insights that will encourage them to finally and fully embrace the ancient Christian faith. Here's Jeff with today's broadcast.
And welcome back to Approaching the Wardrobe. The topic today is planting, growth, and waiting. The concept of waiting is particularly close to my heart today. Today is Lazarus Saturday, and I just spent a couple extra hours with a friend of mine who just today became chrismated into the Orthodox Church. Coming in from out of town was the sponsor, the godfather of my friend. We had some interesting conversations today, hanging out at someone else's house, some other friends of ours' house, after the chrismation and Lazarus Saturday liturgy today. Well, in the account of Lazarus, the followers of Christ who had become very frustrated and depressed after the death of Lazarus, he was dead for 4 days, as it repeats in the gospel, and this was very frustrating to the people who wanted Jesus to work a lot quicker. And as we talk about planting and patience and growth, it's easy to think of how this is a good thing for us to learn is patience and waiting. But waiting can be one of the most difficult things there is. As we look towards many of the saints, the great believers in history, we notice that a lot of them had to wait a long time. My friend's patron saint is Saint Herman of Alaska. This is also the saint of Proto-Presbyter Joseph Krita, whose funeral we talked about in another podcast recently. As I was learning about St. Herman a little bit, I was catching that he was pretty much on his own a lot. He wasn't always the great dynamic establisher of Orthodoxy in Alaska as we know him to be. He had a little tiny chapel he would go to. He was often on his own. Even though he had a dynamic and humorous and charming personality and interaction with people, he was on his own a lot, and yet look at how the influence he had on people is still going on to this day, including in my friend's life and the lives of others. Well, it's this period, though, where he had to be alone and wait. Probably much of his adult life was spent waiting on God, praying to God. It's only later when the growth and the fruit came that he wished to see, and yet he had to wait and wait and wait. As we planted these little twigs and things in my yard earlier when we first moved to this house, we knew it had to grow and wait and be watered for a long, long time, and that is what happened eventually. And this day, 4 years later, we see all kinds of growth, all kinds of green leaves coming to bloom now in the spring, flowers starting to bud, including on our Royal Empress tree here, the big blue purplish flowers that are starting to bud for the first time. And yet it took a lot of time. And as I think of my friend who just got chrismated here, he has been on a journey for many, many, many years, not from a Christian world, just from a pretty much secular outdoors type of upbringing in the Northwest. Through various experiences and encounters, he ends up finally becoming a catechumen at our little mission here in Arizona, and today becoming chrismated into the Eastern Orthodox Church. So many years to you, my friend. The journey is a long, slow journey often, a journey of waiting, a journey where prayers have to be left at God's feet. The results may not be seen for a long time and sometimes never, and yet we know that prayers are not fruitless, that God will answer prayers, and God has his own plans and his own ways, even if they take a long time. Today is especially emotional for myself because a close relative of mine informed me that they really are not interested in orthodoxy or believing it, in the Christian faith even, so to speak. They believe in a God, but they don't know what they believe, and they don't want to follow the teachings of the church and stuff. And I mentioned that, well, that's fine. Eventually you have to come to terms with who Christ was and whether what he taught was true and where that leads you in the end. But in the meantime, there's this struggle because I have to wait for my relative now. Things we've sensed in the past and pretty much known, but now we're having to wait. It sounds like a simple concept and not a big deal, but when it's someone who's your own flesh and blood, who you're close to, it's another thing to actually have to wait. And the difficulty of this, I'm just processing now. As a parent, you wait years and years to try to see the real fruits of your prayers in your children. And this is helping me to have a deeper compassion for other parents who've had children go astray, not see the beauty of the faith. Now that it's become more black and white, it's quite heart-wrenching. And yet I know, and thank you, St. Herman, for your example here, that sometimes you pretty much have to wait. I think of Moses, and how Moses, after his early popular days in Egypt, had to spend 40 years rejected by his own people, pretty much, out in the desert as a shepherd and being a nobody. Yet God, working even in those circumstances when he thought he was alone and was just waiting, God was preparing him somehow through the lessons of being in solitude in nature, through the activities he was engaged in with his employment, through his relationships, eventually marrying the Midianite. Well, through all these things, God was reestablishing him to be the deliverer of those he cared about, and yet he had to wait. I can't imagine waiting 40 years for something. I'm sure when my mom was praying for myself and my brother when we were young, she had to wait a long time. She felt a lot of guilt and frustration over her own past, yet she entrusted us to God and prayed and waited. And in the end, she can see her children trying to walk with God and in a place that's pleasing to God. Here, there has to be a lot of joy in my mother's heart. She prayed and waited and waited. And the true Christian faith is about faith, which is believing in what you can't see yet. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Somehow knowing that something is not seen and yet it's there and real and true. How about the promises of God, where Christ promises that he will answer our prayers, that if it's according to God's will, it will come to pass? And yet, what does that mean many times? It means people are on a long, winding journey before they get to where we would like to see them later. This is frustrating, I'm sure. I know as a parent, this is frustrating. And yet, it always seems like God gives enough to encourage us along the way, shows us glimpses from our friends, or memories from our own journey that encourage us, or some of our children show some things that encourage our hearts, where we see, wow, that's God working in their heart, bringing about a certain faith that only God could bring about in somebody's heart. This is the waiting game of the Orthodox faith. This is the game, not to trivialize it by the word game, but the ongoing activity we are engaged in of asking and waiting, and serving, and being faithful, and watching God bring about great things in the end.
Thank you.
first moved here about 4 years ago now and resettled here in Arizona. We found this neighborhood that has a lot of trees that are huge, which is pretty rare in the Valley of the Sun here, the Phoenix Valley. We're in Gilbert, Arizona. But there are little pockets of neighborhoods that have irrigation, some older neighborhoods, and those neighborhoods have huge trees because they get flooded deeply. And when I lived in Tempe near Arizona State University, one neighborhood there gets irrigated and flooded, and therefore there's huge trees and therefore a lot of wildlife and birds and green grass in those yards. Well, this neighborhood here isn't irrigated, but it originally planted a lot of little pathways and trees and little green areas, pine trees now that are huge. Above our house is one that is at least 30 feet tall, shading half of our house. In front, there's another one shading the other half of our house. And therefore, you'll hear all the noises of birds that love this neighborhood. And in front of me is also a garden that spans the length of our house that I built out of railroad ties and dirt that we brought in, where my wife has planted all kinds of vegetables and flowers that she enjoys. And as I'm sitting here now, you can hear all the birds chirping. It's in the evening, the sun's going down in this late spring time here in Arizona. And there's a lot of life out here through deep watering and soil that has been cultivated here in this neighborhood. Therefore, even in the middle of a place which was just a rocky, barren, arid, deserty area, you have a lot of life here. A lot of things in nature take patience. Fishing, planting, growing, gardening. This all takes a lot of time. And I've always believed that God has nature set up to develop our sense of patience. Not just working the land in toil, but enjoying nature through things that take patience and quiet waiting. It always struck me in the scriptures how Christ had many years, most of his life being a time of growth and development as a human being before his pinnacle ministry years and obviously his death and resurrection, and then his continued work forever through the believers and through the church throughout history. There's this innate concept in nature of growth that is even unseen, patience being required. Here in Arizona, we've always had a challenge of planting things. And as I mentioned earlier, the irrigated areas tend to grow the biggest trees because the water isn't just sprinkled on top where you get a quick grass or a quick plant that can survive for a short time, but you get a deep watering into some nutrients that aren't just dried up instantly by the sun. They're down deep enough to be protected from the circumstances of the weather. In our faith as well, we have a lot of things that can suck up our spiritual energy immediately on the surface, things we encounter every day at work, people's sinful state, our sinful state we're in, our selfish ambitions, our conflicts with other personality types, not to mention the spiritual battles that are coming our way regularly. It is only the deep roots that are rooted in something that is more protected from the weather, from the daily occurrences, only that can feed us enough and keep us stable enough to withstand the weather.
Hide with me tonight. Love endures the weather. Let the rain make everything new. Let my song fall down around you. Let my song fall down around you. Listen closely, and I will sing for you a sentimental song, and you will know just how I feel. Listen closely, and I will sing for you a sentimental song, and you will know my love is real.
The Psalms talk about a man who is planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in due season. His leaves don't wither, and whatever he does prospers. This is an image early in the Psalms that talk about the man who is righteous enough to be in a deeper relationship with God so that his life is characterized by righteousness and fruitfulness. And this is what the Christian faith is about. Now, in a Christian world that emphasizes the outward appearances, the impressiveness of personality, speech, teaching, activity, ministry, it's hard to grow deep roots. It's hard to be forced into a deep devotional life. You have to find it on your own. But in the Orthodox faith, you are forced to grow deep roots if you want to be serious about it. You're forced to not only withstand lengthy services and repetitive things, but during those times, you're growing deeper roots where all of a sudden you may find yourself in a half hour or a half hour of prayers and scripture reading, staring at icons and things, and all of a sudden you find yourself finally talking to Christ directly. Whereas you can go days and not do this otherwise, but you're forced, through getting rid of all the distractions, you're forced to connect with him for real for the first time in either days, sometimes, hopefully not, but sometimes weeks, or God forbid, months of not even talking to God on a real personal and devotional level, a real direct level. Way back, there was an image in my mind or a saying that God cannot deal with our imagination. What I mean by that is God cannot deal with something that isn't real. And so when we're not real in talking and relating to God, he really can't work with us or communicate with us because there's nothing real there to interact with. And I recently heard a saying from a father that God can only deal with an honest and pure heart. I believe this to be true. If there's only a facade or a hypocrisy, which is a masking or a stage actor type of Christianity we're putting on, God has nothing he can really work with. And therefore, even though we can be impressive or active people, God doesn't really have anything to grow real spiritual fruit out of. This is the theme today, that we enter into the deep devotional life, the prayers, the scriptures, the silence, the controlling of our tongue, the controlling of our bodily passions in order to stir up a real relationship with God and strip away everything else that might get in the way of this. This is real orthodoxy. This is real Christianity. Somehow in the West, we've gotten away from that. We've made it pretty heavily mental or heavily emotionally experiential, and yet the whole will and the heart and the body are somehow left out. And we end up loving God without our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. We end up loving God with one or two aspects of those things, but never getting down to the depths, the real consistent nutrients and moisture and soil that are needed to really grow our faith beyond the type of plant that just springs up and then withers away. We'll continue on in this journey toward orthodoxy next time.
You've been listening to Approaching the Wardrobe with Jeff Wisniewski. Jeff is a former Protestant youth minister and missionary. This podcast is a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio on the web at ancientfaith.com.